For your digital download pleasure, it's Tim and Davo in podcast form.
We need to talk about Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Because Sunday might have been... Now, I don't want to sound like I'm overreacting or, you know, just like a someone on the radio that's going, this isn't right, this isn't good. Don't want to sound like a complainer.
Mm-hmm. But?
But whoever set up Easter Sunday to be the same day as Daylight Savings, they're a bum. They're a bum and they should be sacked.
Yeah, okay, because we got an extra hour, didn't we?
We got an extra hour of sleep.
Yeah.
But that's how a lot of people hear it. They go, oh, extra hour of sleep. This is my favourite one. Compared to the one where we lose an hour. And, oh, I have to wake up. It's 6 o'clock now. It's 7 o'clock. What do you mean? I don't get to get my extra sleep in.
See, I thought it was quite nice. I liked having an extra hour in my gorgeous, gorgeous Sunday. But why was it so troubling for you?
So Sunday, without overreacting, you know, exaggerating too much, was the longest day of my human life.
Okay. Set the scene.
So Daylight Savings, where everyone goes, you get an extra hour because we get like 2 a.m. starts twice.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got a like a young one, especially like a toddler age kid, they're not on the same page of Daylight Savings.
No, they don't care.
The one where you lose an hour is actually the best one, because if they're waking up at 5:36 every morning or whatever it is, they actually wake up at 7 once. And you go, wow, this is real life. And your brain immediately goes, "It is, yes, even though yesterday this exact time it was 6 a.m., it's 7 a.m. now, and this is what I've wanted. This is what we all need." Mm-hmm. But when it goes the opposite way, and especially on Easter Sunday, when a lot of kids are excited about, you know, the Easter Bunny visiting and lots of chocolates and Easter egg hunts,
mm-hmm.
when my son woke up at 4:30,
yeah,
locked and loaded, Davo,
mm-hmm.
to go and find Easter eggs to eat chocolate, it started the longest day of my life.
Yeah, that is a long day. You've had to spend an extra hour parenting where you didn't have it in you. You know, on a day like that when chocolate is being consumed, you're also, like, to be fair, you were in a family situation.
Staying at the in-laws.
In-laws, yep. In the that adds to it, and I'm not going to lie. You've got the in-laws there. You've got the extended family. You've got people around you all day, and then you've got a child who's jacked up on chocolate.
Yeah. And so last year, he was more interested in the hunt, didn't want to eat the chocolates.
Great.
Our son. This year, he was like, I need to eat all the chocolate and I will have it as early as I possibly mm-hmm. can. And telling your 2.5-year-old at 4:30 in the morning, it's not time to wake up. It's still nighttime. It's pitch black outside. But he's going, I want to eat chocolate right now.
Yeah.
Chocolate was promised and chocolate shall be delivered.
I know there's so many parents listening right now that are feeling your pain, my friend.
And look, I don't want to go too much into the side of this when it comes to Easter. Jesus was obviously sacrificed on the Friday. Monday, great news, everyone. Jesus is back.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know where you're going with this, and I'm nervous.
No, I have to. I think I might be peeling back live on it. I don't think he would have risen if he'd known that Daylight Savings was going to be on that day. I think he would have gone, you know what? Maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe I'll stay down. Maybe I'll stay in the cave.
Clip that up. Put that online. No, fantastic. No.
Tim and Davo.
Tim, I've had a gutful of myself. I'm honestly over my own crap.
Yeah, I'm glad we're on the same page. Welcome.
You know, just sometimes you just keep making mistakes, or you just keep doing things a little bit wrong, or just mucking up, and you just go,
"What is wrong with me?
What's going on?"
It happens because then if you make those like small mistakes, and we all do it, and it's like over the most stupid things. It'll be like something to do with like tidying around the house, or mm-hmm. like something you were like, "Oh, I'm just rushing, so I'll do this." And then you do a bad job of it, or you make a mistake, and that creates more work. And then you go, I hate that version of me.
Mm-hmm.
They're the worst.
Yeah, well, I certainly was the worst version of myself on Sunday because I had been putting something off and it caught up with me.
All right.
I ran out of petrol.
David. Now, that's bad. Now, there are multiple warnings on cars.
Heaps.
That say, hey, like there's actually a constant warning.
Yep.
It's called the fuel gauge.
Yeah.
And it'll show you if your car's got heaps of it, it'll say F for full.
Yep.
And then it gets down to like where it gets to E. Do you know what that stands for?
Empty, yeah.
But what happens about 80 Ks before it gets to that E?
light comes on.
Yeah, light comes on and says, hey, we're running low here, no, boss.
And I get that. But I was risking it for the biscuit. I've been driving around. I've been bragging about this quarter tank for a really long time. And I was feeling good about where I was in my petrol journey. And then I drove to Torquay on the weekend and then came home via Barwon Heads. But as I was driving to Torquay, the light did come on. And I thought, well, it's probably a good warning for me to get things sorted.
Well, you live in town, so like in the Geelong, near the Geelong CBD. So where, and you're going to Torquay, whereabouts between here and Torquay, like close to home the light goes on?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I've thought, you know, I must get
half
some
an
petrol.
Hour. Yeah, half an hour. There's plenty of APCOs on the way. Like there's one on Surf Coast Highway, South Geelong. There's one at Barwon Heads, which yep. you went to.
But I had a journey and a plan in mind. So I was like, I don't need to stop on the way here. I'll stop on the way home. But what did I do? I left from Torquay and I thought, you know, well, I haven't been to Barwon Heads yet. I need to go check this place out. So I've driven via 13th Beach, obviously stopped there, drove a little bit extra.
Yeah, go into the housing estate, all the beautiful houses on 13th Beach.
Had a look
Beach.
At that gorgeous lookout there. Yeah. And then I thought, right, the next stop has to be petrol. Like, I must go get this sorted. So I started driving from there and I thought, right, Barwon Heads APCO is where I'm going. Well, I made it.
You actually made it to the petrol station?
I made it to the petrol station. I was waiting in line for the pump. And my car conked out.
Running on fumes, mate. Running on actual fumes to conk out in the actual petrol station without getting to your Bowser.
Yeah, in the line. So I've gone, oh dear.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. I had to get a lovely gentleman.
Just give me a bit of a push.
My 2007 beat up silver Mazda has never embarrassed me more. I was mortified.
Darling. I mean, of the places to lose, because when you just said that you ran out of fuel, I was like, so weird you didn't call me. Like, I was like, who helped you? But you had to get, you ran out 10 metres away from a Bowser.
Pathetic.
But I mean, how did, like, turning your car over for the first time after it, because I've never, ever ran out of fuel.
Oh, good on you. But like, I've done it a few times, I'm not going
to
lie.
But I'm curious to how the car, like, when you turn it on and the fuel starts getting injected back to where it needs to be, is it like,
yeah.
Is it like a horse waking up in
it
the cold?
It comes to life. It's excited okay. to go. It's got, yeah, yeah.
I mean, you've run out of fuel in probably the best place ever.
I did. Exactly right. But embarrassing.
A little, yeah, very. I'm disappointed.
I know. It's no one's fault but my own. I'm the worst.
Yeah.
As I said, I've had a gutful.
Well, 5223295 Where have you run out of fuel? Now, 10 metres away from the petrol Bowser is probably the best case scenario we're going to get. So I want to get as far away from a Bowser as possible. I'm talking hours. I want to talk dozens of kilometres, middle of nowhere. What the F are we actually going to do?
Make me nervous.
Where we are in the middle of nowhere, we've got no fuel. 5223295 Where did you run out of fuel? It sticks with you like a core memory, the times that it happens. We'd love to hear from you. All right, Naomi and Impolee's giving us a call because we want to know where people have run out of fuel. Naomi, where did you run out of fuel?
I was coming in for Invalee and I'd gone all the way in. I had a, I think, a 100 series Land Cruiser. So I got to the top of Latrobe Terrace and Ryrie Street to turn right down towards Cadinia Park. So I start going down there and as I'm going down, I knew I was on empty and I knew I'd been on empty for a while, like a couple of days. And so then I was going down the hill and thank goodness I got two green lights, which I think never has happened in history. And I end up rolling right into the service station just before Cadinia Park and pulled up at the Bowser.
So your car had actually conked out, but you got the downhill, two green lights, and you got the roll.
The roll, that's amazing.
Right up to the Bowser, and it was going so slow as it's going up the ramp into the petrol station.
It's so funny because we do know. Like, we know when we're going to, like, we know. We're obviously on empty. All the signs are there. Can I ask, you know, as someone that does this, frequently.
Yep.
I mean, what stopped you from getting the petrol?
Well, was just, because we didn't have a petrol station in Valais at the time.
Oh, see.
And so I'd have to go to Bannockburn or to Geelong to get it. So I was just pushing my luck, taking the kids to netball on a Monday night.
Yeah, risking it for the biscuit. You sound like fun, Naomi. I love it.
Yeah, we absolutely love it. Josh in Thompson's giving us a call. Josh, where did you run out of fuel?
Yeah, I ran out of fuel on the way to work one day, and when I realised that I was going to run out of fuel, I had to keep going all the way to, or nearly to work anyway, and just had enough service to call me mate, who's my boss, and he had to come, well, he had to drive all the way into town and go get fuel for me. So,
call of shame.
Yeah.
It is a call of shame. It is. And so you had someone that went and got fuel for you. Actually, I did have a friend that did that for me once before. Okay. And how many times have you run out of fuel before, Josh?
I probably run out of fuel in the last two months, probably twice already.
Okay. Well, Josh, all right. That is
two of the same, Josh.
That's an absolute ludicrous thing to say, that it's not just happened twice in your life, but twice in the last 2 months.
This is Tim and Davo. The podcast.
We've been having some chats the last couple of weeks, haven't we, mate?
Yeah, we certainly have. You've discovered that I am a conspiracy theorist.
Yep, your tinfoil hat is beautiful, shining. Honestly, I didn't have this for you. Mm. So it's been quite a surprise, and watching you genuinely spiral.
Yeah, yep, spiral's a great word.
About certain conspiracy theories. And it's really been heightened with this Artemis 2 mission that's flown from Earth, done a couple of laps, gone over to the moon, fly by, dark side of the moon, now it's on its way back.
Yeah, well, I just think it's interesting that they couldn't pop into the moon, seeing as we did it in 1969. So
you didn't want to let you're upset they're not landing.
Yeah, well, mate, the moon landing, 1969, the greatest achievement in human history, or the greatest PR stunt.
Okay, so, Jesus. Davo, it's a big one. When it comes to conspiracy theories, this is probably the most popular one.
Mm.
But every day this week, I'm going to allow you the space to bring your favourite conspiracy theories. I'll ask a few questions here and there, but I won't shut you down like I have previously. And I apologise for that.
No, you don't need to apologise. I understand exactly how this sounds. But I do want to go through some of the reasons why I don't think... That's crazy. I don't think the moon landing happened in 1969.
Okay.
All right, so let's go through it. Let's just start, eh?
Yeah, let's rip into it. Let's rip into it.
You know, Buzz Aldrin, we had Neil Armstrong and Michael Collins. They were, you know, sorting it all out, getting up into the sky.
Mm.
And, of course, they get up there, they put their flag down on the moon, and, of course, the flag is flapping in space? No. There's no wind in space. There's no wind in the moon, and yet the flag looks like it's waving. Okay, where are the stars? You didn't like that one? Where are the stars? Where are the stars, Tim? They are in space, and in the footage from the 1969 moon landing, there's no stars to be seen. Where are they?
Could it be the quality of the camera?
No. Well, you say that, but the perfect footage that came out of the moon landing was pretty outrageous. Crystal clear photos, dramatic angles, iconic moments, all captured in 1969 in space. It just doesn't sound plausible to me.
What's your understanding of cameras at that time in 1969? You didn't think the quality matched what was at our home?
Oh, it's not quite an iPhone, is it?
I've spoken to my dad about this. So he was born in 52, and he remembers being in school and watching the moon landing live, and he talks about it being like one of the craziest moments of his life.
Mm-hmm.
And he hopes for me, of human beings landing on Mars, that I get that moment that he got when the moon landing happened in 1969.
And I mean, I'm sure it was fantastic, but he isn't taking in consideration that the shadows were sus in the film. They were all from different sort of directions, multiple light sources. You know, it just doesn't seem like that would be something happening on the moon. It seems more like a studio. And not to mention, the US needed a win at this time. And this is where I start getting a little bit crazy.
This is the space race. So there was a genuine space race. So it did have benefits for them to get there first.
Well, there was the Cold War, and they basically, you know, they needed the win over the Soviets.
Yeah.
And getting to the moon first was a bloody win.
It was a huge win for them.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
There's a few.
Yeah, like we don't have to go in. So
Sorry. One other thing. The technology doesn't add up. Why could they do it then and not now, Tim?
Well, we did have a conversation. I think that's what inspired this. We had a chat off air in a song yesterday. Not yesterday, last week, when we talked about Artemis going up. And they don't need, like, once they went there, they didn't need to go back.
Mm.
from what they've said.
But why wouldn't you?
Well, like, it's very expensive. It's billions of dollars. Yeah. So I don't know. It's not like a holiday. It's not like going to like Marimbula,
but
you know?
The technology doesn't add up. They reckon the control desk had as much power as a calculator. And yet I go to a music festival, got 4G on my phone and I can't connect. Okay. And yet they were able to, in 1969, go to the moon. Do your research.
Okay.
Do your research.
All right. I have one question. Why do you think they needed to do it? Is it just the Cold War stuff?
It was a morale boost. Morale boost for the US and the world. As we all watched a rocket pretend to go to space.
Okay. Oh, I'm struggling to sit through this one. No, that's okay. No, it's your space. No, it's you. No. Like, I'm struggling to, but then again, I haven't researched the other side because I just have been told that this is history. And this is a good thing because you're questioning history very aggressively. So moon landing is a big one.
Yeah.
I reckon it still happened.
Guys, do your research.
Okay. Well, I can't wait to hear that every day this week. It's Tim and Davo.
You asked for it.
It's Tim and Davo.
Yeah, superstar over the Easter weekend has got to be the Easter Bunny. One of them.
Coming in clutch. Goat again. Absolutely delivering on all senses. People that get around Easter, especially in the last 10, 15 years, they've become big fans of the Easter Bunny.
Of course. And it's great. He pops over, brings you some chalky eggs, hides them around the place, and we love it sick.
Easter Bunny he? To you?
I think so. In my heart and soul, he feels like it's a he.
Yeah, it does. It does to me as well.
It's like, I think the vest he wears as well, you know, sometimes he'll wear a vest. It feels very masculine.
With the buttons on it as well.
Women can wear vests too. I don't want to...
Careful.
I don't want to upset any ladies. I love wearing vests out there, but of course...
Get those arms out, girls.
The Easter Bunny vest does feel masculine. That's not what we're talking. The bunny.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the Easter Bunny before?
Well, that's the magic of the Easter Bunny is that we don't see the Easter Bunny. So, yeah. Like, if you're listening and you've got young ones that are listening, like, yeah, our parents can sometimes... point the Easter Bunny in certain directions, but they also don't get to see the Easter Bunny. They might have chats, but that's the magic of the Easter Bunny. That's they come, the Easter eggs are put out, and we don't get to see the beautiful creature that is the bunny.
So while you are picturing the Easter Bunny in your heart and soul, how big do you think the Easter Bunny is?
It's big. It's like human size.
Yeah.
I would say its ears... finishing at my shoulder.
Oh. A short...
Well, no, like that's a bit... If that, compared to rabbits.
No, compared to rabbits.
That's huge.
See, in my head, the Easter Bunny is about 7 foot tall with the ears up.
Ears up.
Ears up.
Okay.
Ears up, of course.
So like it's a giant creature.
I'd say he's about 6'3".
But I know you've got other reasons why you want the Easter Bunny to be 6'3".
No.
Hop over here, mate.
No. But yeah, in
what do you got in that basket there, Jim?
Get over here, sweetheart. No. In my head, he's a really tall man.
I'm trying to close my eyes. Ooh, see bunny. My mind's eye.
Bunny.
It's been a while since you've had an Easter egg hunt, hasn't it, Davo? Since someone's hopped along.
No comment.
I see it as bigger than obviously as a rabbit and a hare. Like, because sometimes you see a hare and you go, geez, they're big. But yeah, I see, like, I'm 184 centimetres.
Three.
And
two. Three's
and
a push.
Yeah, I see its ears kind of loosely somewhere between my shoulders and the top of my head. But its face is probably around my chest.
Okay.
Area.
So like ears up.
Ears up.
It's at your shoulder.
Yeah. So like the size.
182 centimetre shoulder.
The size of loosely a 12-year-old.
Okay.
An Australian 12-year-old.
Well, this is the thing. This is the magic of the Easter Bunny. We all have a different perception of how big the bunny is.
So magic that we don't actually get to see what it looks like, which is, you know, breaking our heart. Still as a 33-year-old, I would love to see that bunny.
Well, I'd love to hear from our gorgeous, gorgeous listeners on 52232955. How big is the Easter Bunny?
Yeah, like when you picture the Easter Bunny and all the magic that it brings, how big is it? Is it the same size as a normal rabbit or is it giant, 6'3", works in
gorgeous
finance? Gorgeous. You know, loves going to the beach,
bunny,
loves
we're
music.
Talking about a bunny.
Okay, 52232955. To you, how big is the Easter Bunny. Well, we've hit the phones with it. Marie in Hamlin Heights. Marie, was Easter pretty busy for you and your family this long weekend?
With three kids under eight, 100%. Oh. It was off the hook, but that's okay.
Okay. Easter Bunny right. Obviously would be doing some pretty big visits, but the magic is that we never get to see it. But when you're describing it to your three young kids, like do you and do they have a size reference of how big they think the Easter Bunny is?
Oh, yeah, like monstrous. Like I tell them, he's taller than me. Yeah. Like I'm 5'11", and we eyeball each other, but he's got me on height. Like his ears are on top. So we can eyeball each other, but his ears are on top. So all up, maybe he's nearly 7 foot. He's big.
That's huge. You and I, Marie, we're on the same page. I think he's monstrous as well. He's not monstrous. He's a lovely, lovely bunny.
Like jumbled. The gentle giant.
Huge.
Sorry. So, but doesn't that, I don't know, that just seems a bit big. Like, Marie, if you've got three kids under eight, like, that's massive to them. Like, that's the same.
Yeah, but they also want to know how's he carrying all those eggs. You can't have a little bunny all those eggs. He's got to be big.
And bunnies.
Big baskets. Yeah, big bunnies.
Yeah, bunnies don't wear backpacks well either. You know, it's not good for them.
It's not a good look. Nah.
It's not good for their back.
Marie,
Well, we're all out of internet. Until next time, this has been Tim and Davo.